Today we're sitting down with Marie Todd, who is the owner of Lane's Lemonade, which is the old red box car right there in downtown Dunedin off the Pinellas Trail. And Marie recently purchased this business. She wasn't the one that opened it up, but she is really passionate about this business and what it means for the community. You know, as soon as Marie found out that this business was for sale, she knew that this is the one that she was going to buy, and she had to do whatever it took to make it happen. And I think kind of what stands out to me, you know, after talking with Marie and meeting her is just her love and her passion for the community, both, you know, her Lane's Lemonade community and the people that work there for her, and also the community of Dunedin as well, and how much she cares about, you know, that community and how much passion she has for that community. So let's jump into it. Let's meet Marie, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Welcome to another episode of Palm Harbor Local. I'm your host, Florida native and real estate ninja, Donnie Hathaway. You know, I started this podcast because I'm extremely passionate about connecting you with the people and the local businesses that make Palm Harbor so special. Palm Harbor, Florida is a great place to call home. It has everything you could dream of, from the food, the outdoors, the lifestyle, to the people in the community. Now, through this podcast and Instagram, I've been able to make some incredible connections, and I want to invite you to come follow me on Instagram. It's at donnie.hathaway, where I share all the best places to live, work, and play in beautiful Palm Harbor. So welcome, Marie. I appreciate you taking the time to jump on a podcast with today. How's your day going?
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a good day today. It's you know, getting colder outside, and I just stocked up to go and get stuff to launch, not just hot chocolate, but a frozen hot chocolate for this weekend. Now when we're done with the Halloween celebrations.
Wait, that doesn't even make sense. So a frozen hot chocolate?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if you've ever heard of this restaurant. It was up in New York. It was had its heyday probably some almost 20 years ago. It's still there, but it's called Serendipity. And it used to be super hard to get into. And what they were famous for was their frozen hot chocolate and their foot-long hot dog.
Okay.
And it's like a little brownstone on the Upper East Side. Anyway, we used to love to go there. It was a family outing. And so the frozen hot chocolate is a thing. They've been nice. Doing it for 20 plus years.
Crazy. And so yeah. You're bringing a little of that down south here in Florida. So
yeah.
So you own Lane's Lemonade. So for the people who haven't been to Lane's Lemonade or don't know what it is, can you tell us a little bit about what you guys do there?
Yes. So Lane's Lemonade, what's fun about it is that not only do we serve great products, if I may say so myself, but it's in a little landmark location right smack in the middle of Dunedin town. We sit on kind of the crossing between Main Street and Pinellas Trail in a red train car. And we actually rent that or lease it from the Dunedin History Museum. And what's fun about that is we decided to kind of tap in to the history of Pinellas Trail being an old railroad track that used to transport citrus fruit up and down the coast. And so we were like, well, what would make sense here? So that's why I started lemonades, orangeades, limeades, and then we served the orange soft serve ice cream, which you can't really find in too many places. So we have a very loyal clientele that stops by to find this orange ice cream. And so we have that. And then we have soft serve pretzels that we source locally and then bake fresh right in the boxcar there.
Awesome. And yeah. It is a very unique
unique building, obviously being the old boxcar that's been renovated. So it's pretty cool to have, and like you said, to bring some of that history, you know, keep some of that history with you guys and what you do there at Lane's Lemonade. So you now you recently purchased Lane's Lemonade, correct?
Yes, I did. So in May this year.
In May of this year. Okay.
Yeah. We took it over from the previous owner. We just in total had a 2-year anniversary in September. So that's how long the business has been around, and I've been around since May. But just love it because I took it over from a woman by the name of Elena, who also started the Dunedin Coffee Company a few years ago. She grew up in the restaurant industry, and I just feel very fortunate to have found the business and having her still as a mentor. I think it was very important to both of us that it was seamless, that basically people wouldn't know that there was a new owner because the concept was working. I made a few tweaks, but they're small. And the staff is still with me that used to work for her, and they're so great and excellent. I would say all of them are born and raised in Dunedin. So that's good for someone who came from up north and need to find my way around. They're an infinite source of information. So that's been wonderful. It's just been a really good relationship. And Elena did a little guest stint this past Saturday during Halloween weekend. Could let some of my staff out to celebrate. So she and I worked for a couple of hours together. So it's fun. It's been a very, very positive experience.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. And I think that just kind of speaks to, I think, the town that Dunedin is and some of the neighboring cities, and how that small business community is super connected and always willing to lend a hand. So it's pretty cool to kind of hear that story. So what made you decide to want to buy this business, and is this something you were kind of looking for, or how did this all start?
Yeah, so I've been in the corporate world.
Are you getting ready to sell or buy your dream home? McLaurin Inspections is your premier choice in residential and commercial inspections in the Tampa Bay area. They also offer a variety of additional services to fit your needs. Mold and air quality testing, sewer line and WDO inspections, 4-point wind mitigation inspections, and pool and spa inspections as well. A family-owned and operated company, they will go the extra mile to make sure you are taken care of. To schedule your inspection today, visit McLaurinInspections.com or call them at 813-858-5061.
For a long time up in New Jersey, I used to work in licensing. And just to explain that, I was the one who negotiated the deals with Disney and Nickelodeon and everything so that their characters would be on the products that we made at the company where I worked. So super fun job. Was always very happy with it. Then COVID hit, right? And all of a sudden, I think like everybody else, kind of reevaluated life a little bit. My daughter, I have one child, and she got into UCF and was going to move down to Florida. My fiance already had a business down here. He was splitting his time between Florida and Pennsylvania. He's a microbiologist. And I was kind of thinking, what's this about? I'm going to be the only one stuck in the dark and cold up here while everybody else is frolicking in Florida. Didn't seem right or fair somehow. So I have always dreamt of being an entrepreneur and having my own business. And so when these life changes kind of happened, I was like, you know what, let me see what's out there. And I started to aggressively look for businesses to purchase in Dunedin or Palm Harbor, kind of this area. And luckily, my daughter is a lemonade connoisseur, and she had taken me past Lane's and said that it was the best lemonade she had ever had. And she always wanted to stop by because she thought it looked so cool in that train car. And so I was aware of the business. I knew where it was. And when I saw it for sale, I jumped on it. I think my fiance thought I was actually losing my mind because I called him and I said, "This is it. This is what I want." And I kind of screamed at him. I said, "I have to have it." because it's an interesting hybrid model. When you look at it, I didn't have restaurant experience. Yes, I had worked, you know, like everyone in our teens, right? I worked in a pizzeria, I worked at a hotel, I did all that, but it was many, many moons ago. So I didn't want to have something where, you know, I had a kitchen because I know nothing about it. I don't want to jump into something where I don't think I'm going to be doing a really good job. So this was perfect because we don't really, you know, cook anything.
Right.
We bake pretzels, we squeeze lemonade. We don't have any servers because everything is you pick it up at the window and then we have outdoor seating. So it's a very easy business to pick up, to learn, to you know, get your feet wet. And it just seemed like such a perfect fit. So yeah, I actually called Elena. I tracked her down because she already had, I'm going to say she already had like three bids in and she was almost on her way to sign a contract.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I convinced her to do a FaceTime with me together with a broker. And she was walking through the business and I was just talking to her about my vision and what I wanted to do and how I didn't want to change anything, that I thought her concept was great. How I couldn't wait to work with her staff and we clicked and she was like, "Well, you know, this is kind of what I would like to hear." I said, "Well, you know, I'm there for it." And, we came to terms during that call and, you know, proceeded to just, march full speed ahead. It was great. It was amazing.
Yeah,
it happened.
That's
pretty
cool.
Yeah, it just happened in I guess that must have been around February. And then we closed on it and I moved down here and we sold our house up there and, you know, just came down here and started rocking and rolling in May.
Crazy. So not only did you, so most people have a challenge. It's hard enough, right, to just move locations and you have a job and all that stuff in place. Now you're moving to a different state and also buying a business and learning that whole experience too. So what was that like? Just, you know, those first few weeks of kind of getting yourself acclimated to Florida and then acclimated to being a business owner on top of all that.
Oh, it was chaos. It was
just the way it should be. Yeah.
It was interesting because I actually moved down here before we had closed on the house back in New Jersey. And because I had to come down here for a few times because the train car is owned by the History Museum and it sits on public land, I actually had to be vetted as a new owner by the History Museum in front of their board. And then I had to be approved by the town of Dunedin as well. So that was a process. I had to come down here and do those kind of things and try to sell the house up in New Jersey. Not that it was hard because we all know what a crazy market it is. And then juggle my career still, because even though I took over the business in May, I actually worked at my current or my old job because they were searching for someone long story, but I did that up until the end of June. So I basically had a consultancy gig while trying to learn my yeah. new business and getting situated and closing on a house. And so, yeah, it was hectic to say the least, but we got through it. And Elena, like I said, Elena was great. She trained me for 2 weeks. I worked with her hand in hand for 2 weeks. And then her staff that had been with her, actually some of them since the Dunedin Coffee Company, were so well trained, and they're just amazing. Can't say enough good things about them. They kind of took me under their wing and it continued the training, and has been nothing but warm and welcoming, just as the town of Dunedin has been, you know, coming by and saying, "Oh, I hear you're the new owner. You know, what's your yeah. name? We love coming here, and you know, we're wishing you tons of good luck." And it's been wonderful. It's been surprising to me how open and welcoming the community has been. So it's just been, even though it was hectic, has been a very positive and rewarding move that I did, and yeah. I zero regrets with it.
Very cool. That's awesome to hear. So I want to know, I want to ask you a little bit about the idea of like purchasing a business, you know, going back to like, you know, you had mentioned like you always kind of had this entrepreneur spirit or approach mm-hmm. Before. So did you ever think about like starting your own business, and why, what kind of led you to purchasing a business if you have?
Yeah. So, I've been fortunate enough to have worked for different size companies. But even when I worked within a company, within corporate, I would be entrepreneurial. Like, I would find new business opportunities. I would find new product categories. I would open up new aisles at retail. Like, for instance, I used to work for a cosmetic company, and I found that it's going to date me a little bit, but I think is a kind of a funny story. I found Hannah Montana before Hannah Montana blew up and became a thing, and not only did I like get a wind of Hannah Montana, I then found a company that was a group of inventors. And they had come up with this hair streaking technology to put temporary hair color into your hair in a very easy wash out application. And I took them and I went to Disney and I negotiated the deal, and I opened up all these. I sold it into the toy aisle at Walmart. I sold it into the cosmetic aisle at Target. I sold it, you know, and see spot save in the smaller. So it was something that we didn't have before with, as a, we only did cosmetics. We did nothing with hair. Those are the things that I've always enjoyed, and I've done it continuously throughout my career, finding that not being kind of comfortable in a position saying, okay, this is all that I do. You hired me to do yeah. this. Let me just do this. I'm too restless for that. And I have, I'll say, like, I have kind of a creative streak. And if I don't get, I can't draw, I can't paint, but
right.
I have a passion for consumer goods. And so it was always in me, I think, to do those and kind of push the boundaries and not being satisfied, just keeping the status quo. But I was a single mom.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of carry the stability at home for myself and my daughter. So there was never the time for me to kind of strike out on my own. Even though I had plenty of ideas every night to like, you know, oh, I want to do this. It just, it wasn't the time. So now, my daughter is in college, like we said, she's in Orlando. I met my fiance about like 4.5 years ago, and he showed how stressful but rewarding it is to be an entrepreneur because he owns his own business.
Yeah.
And then supported this whole lifestyle change. And it's just, I think, combining the fact that my daughter is now grown-ish and finding someone who is on the same level and dream path as you are and supporting that kind of created the perfect storm for me to finally be able to take that step and buy my own business. But I had looked at, you know, gazillion million things. I was driving him crazy. I was like, look at this. And how about this one? And he would be like, oh, well, okay. And patiently sitting and talking to me about, you know, maybe this is not viable and maybe this is. And he would have me do plus and minuses. And, you know, because I'm a little impulsive and not necessarily great with spreadsheets, and which he is. And so anyway, so when this happened, it was a very clean business. Like we said, it just made sense. Like all those things that every opportunity I had brought before would be like a yes, but right. Mm-hmm. Consider this, think about it. And I would think about it and I would go like, yeah, okay. All right. And this one we looked at and it was just a yes. There was no but to this one. And so everything just came together and clicked.
So was there something specific there? Like when you first saw Lane's Lemonade, like what stood out to you that was like, that made you, you know, call up your fiance and be like, this is the one that I want.
Well, that it was in Dunedin, because Dunedin is my dream town. I just love it so much. I pinch myself every day that I drive into, we live in Crystal Beach, which is just 15 minutes away. But like every day I drive into Dunedin, I pinch myself. I was like, I can't believe this. So the location. And then I think I've always been very visual. I like things that bring joy. And seeing that red boxcar brings joy. It also, you know, it's very visually pleasing. It's just fun. It makes people smile when they see it. Now, you always see people walking down the trail and then stopping in front of it, taking selfies or, you know, pointing and talking. And so that was great. And then, like we said, it's an easy operational business and it was complete turnkey. I didn't have to do anything other than show up. And those all put together made it the location for me to buy.
Yeah. Awesome. So what about, so I know you're only like 8 months in, but you've obviously have gone through a lot of changes and challenges and stuff. What's like one challenge that you kind of had to overcome that, you know, when you purchased Lane's Lemonade, that maybe you didn't see or didn't kind of expect when you first started running the business?
Well, I will say, I think we're actually experiencing it right now.
Yeah.
Now, because I could not have foreseen I the supply shortage. And the supply shortage, the staff shortage, and the inflation that's coming our way, I think it's all really, really worrisome. And you wouldn't believe it. I've today spent half an hour chasing straws.
Yeah.
My regular supplier is out. I drive to Gordon's food supply store. they're out. And I have to end up buying things on Amazon at a premium. So everything has gone up by about 30%, from the raw materials to the plastics to if I can even find it. We had just not this past weekend, but the weekend before, I couldn't even get my orange ice cream. I had to substitute it for pineapple, which is fine. It's also, you know, a fun flavor, and a lot of people had kind of requested it, that we would. Elena used to do like a pop-up flavor here and there. And so they knew of the pineapple, but it's not necessarily what I wanted to do. I like it steady, especially since I have menu items that are depending on the same flavor ice creams. But anyway, it's definitely a big challenge. I don't see, I just don't see any light at the tunnel, at the end of the tunnel right now. It just keeps getting worse. I mean, plastic cups for me to pour my ice cream in. Some of my suppliers are changing their business model because they can't get drivers. So when I used to have to order a certain amount from my delivery, that delivers most of my supplies, they used to require me to do 15 cases. They went from 15 to 20. Now, if you look at my little space, I simply don't have the space to put things. I have one double wide fridge. I have one freezer. I have, one beverage cooler. And there's no place for me to put this. And so we're in the midst of adapting and working through these challenges. So that's definitely very interesting / worrisome to me right now.
Part of it, you just don't have control over some of that, right? So it's just kind of like, what do I have to do today to make it work and keep things moving forward?
Yeah. So it's things like that. And then learning how cyclical the business is.
Yeah.
Okay, so September is dead. Who knew? I didn't. And that August is too hot, and it doesn't go like May, June, a little slow. It goes like May, June. And how do you handle something like that? Because you still want to retain your staff.
Right.
So you can't start cutting their hours. Right. Because then they're going to go find another job, and I don't want to lose them. Things like that. I'm trying to learn and balance, and I'm very much hoping that our beloved snowbirds are going to come back soon. And everybody's talking about the borders being open and the Canadians are coming back. So I'm hoping for that. I look forward to that happening. It's not, the business is not bad, but it's a huge drop off compared to where I was in May.
And I can imagine it's, and like you said, it's just kind of concerning, like especially someone like yourself who's just kind of learning, how to be a business owner and learning this business as well. It takes, part of it's just experience, right? You're just kind of going through it and learning how to handle it and then doing it better the next time.
Yeah. I kept saying, just give me a year. I need a year out of my body, some historical data so I can figure out what I'm doing. But for sure, the biggest thing for me that is crucial is making sure my staff is okay.
Yeah.
Making sure that they get the same amount of hours, making sure that, they're not being shortchanged in any way, because I really don't want that. I know that they rely on me for you know, their living. They rely on me for their income, and I take that responsibility, you know, to heart. It's a big thing for me.
Yeah, I think that's huge, and I think a lot of businesses, you know, can kind of learn and adapt that same mindset. I was listening to a podcast recently, and they were talking about that in this. It was a Simon Sinek podcast, and he was talking to somebody who he was saying basically it's, you know, once the children kind of leave their parents' home or whatever, it's now the employer's responsibility to kind of teach those kids and kind of care for them just like you would as a parent. Yeah. For your own kids, you know, it's just in the workplace. So that responsibility is still the same. It doesn't matter if it's at home or at work, it's still the exact same. So it's really cool. Yeah. To hear your approach and mindset when it comes to that.
Yeah, I think it's also an interesting trend going on now. I feel like the tide is sort of turning. You know how it used to be like the customer is always right?
Yeah.
That's changing because especially staff in service jobs like what we're in, it's a lot of, let me just preface by saying 95% of the people that come are wonderful and great. Mm-hmm. You have about 5%. And when they talk to staff, it's very condescending.
Yeah.
Like they're not bright enough, smart enough. And my staff is brilliant. It kills me, and you can see it. And sometimes if it's a few during the day, you can just see them shrinking. Yeah. You know, and they take it to heart, and it's very hard. And I feel everybody is kind of seeing it maybe in the service industry now, because when you have good staff and you want to keep them, you're simply not going to allow that kind of behavior anymore. I've been reading, there's been a couple of articles out there about how the tide is turning and being like, no, if you're not a good customer, you're just not always right. And we're right. Going to protect our staff. And I'm sure you've seen that to those that show up, be kind. There's restaurants that have signs now in their windows and, you know, talking about the importance of treating people with respect and kindness across the board. And I like this new trend, and I will, you know, stand up for my employees. And I think that that's also very important in our service industry to really think about the emotional and mental toll that it takes when you're treated like you're not right. I don't know. Like,
yeah. We're just not even human sometimes too, you know, it's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And they work so hard. I, you know, again, like coming from corporate and sitting behind a desk, right. And doing whatever. Sure. I thought I worked hard then.
Yeah.
I come home after a shift here. My feet hurt. My arms hurt, like everything, like everything hurts. Now I'm pushing 50. So I'm kind of like, not like the young whippersnappers, but like, yeah. It's a lot. We're lifting big bags. We're cleaning, we're sweeping, we're doing like, so it's exhausting. It's so tiring. And, bless these girls, some because some of them come in the morning and work all the way through until 9 o'clock. Like maybe they have like a 2-hour break or, you know, whatever. But I can do about one of those shifts, and then I want to cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast. I want to ask you one more question, and it's one that I ask kind of everybody at the end of the podcast, and that is, what is one of your favorite local businesses or just a business that you kind of want to highlight right now?
Oh, there's so many.
One.
Uh, I simply love Russ from Dunedin Bike Tours.
Oh yeah.
He's amazing and so fun and so giving and just wanting to get everyone involved, pushing everybody else's business, and just a big generous heart. And seeing him now just having completed his ghost tours, yeah, and having a big success with that. And every time he rides by the trail with his group, you know, he rings his bell and we all hang out the window and we yell and shout and, you know, go whoop, whoop, whoop. For that reason alone, I'm definitely Russ and his bike tours is worth checking out. We're getting, I'm getting married in February and my friends and family are coming in from, I'm from Sweden originally. So I have some friends and family coming from Sweden and friends and friends from up north. And we're going to be joining Russ on a bike tour. So they get to see Dunedin properly.
Yeah. And Russ is awesome. He was on the podcast. I think it's, we're recording this at the beginning of November. And so he was on the beginning of October. And his story is super cool. And, you know, how he started the bike tour business. And, and like you said, I think, you know, just his personality, like when he's driving by the, you know, Lane's Lemonade, I think that's like just who Russ is. He just loves to have fun and loves everyone else to have fun around him too.
Yes. And he's been so inviting to me. He's part of, the business incubator group, and he keeps me informed on that. And he helps me to connect to people here and there. And he stops by for his favorite, strawberry milkshake and we hang out for a bit, and it's great.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Well, definitely go check him out, Dunedin Bike Tours, if you haven't already. So Marie, again, I appreciate you jumping on the podcast. How can people, I know you talked a little bit about where you guys are located, but how can people, you know, find you and come visit you at Lane's Lemonade?
I think it looks like I have a halo here right now. the afternoon sun. Sorry. Yeah. So we're on, we have our regular website, which is laneslemonade.com. We're on Instagram under Lane's Lemonade Dunedin. We are on Facebook under Lane's Lemonade. And then you and me talk briefly about the fact that I do my own goofy thing on Lane's Lemonade Finsta, which was inspired by my daughter, because I guess all the cool kids these days have a Finsta account, where they get to, where they have their personalities really show instead of trying to be like that cool persona, the slick persona. It's where all their true friends are. So that's why we started Lane's Lemonade Finsta. And we have a TikTok account. So we're trying to hit it pretty much everywhere that we can.
There you go. And I'm sure that keeps you pretty busy too. Keeping up with all of that as well. So.
Yeah. Okay. My manager is my social media director, and she does an amazing, amazing job. Her name is Ashlyn Barnes, and she for sure deserves a shout out as well as being very visual and very savvy when it comes to all of that. And I will say, if you allow me, she also has her own Etsy business and a business here in Dunedin where she sells her own plants. Evergreen Dunedin. So if anybody is in the market to pick up some really cool plants that have been grown with lots of love, then that's who to go to.
There you go. Awesome. Awesome, Maria. I appreciate your time again today, and go check her out.
Yes. Thank you.
So I really hope you enjoyed that conversation today. Be sure to hit that follow button for Palm Harbor Local on your favorite podcast platform and download the episode as you listen in.
To learn more about the life in Palm Harbor area, then follow me on Instagram. It's @donny.hathaway. Let's have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.